You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Josh Swallows.
Crucify him. Crucify him. I would be the worst Jesus and superstar, wouldn't I? I'd just be like needy, just like, hey, don't, ow, that hurts. Are you my mom? Owie, hey, owie. Ow. You know, yeah. They'd be like, everything is great. Yeah. And I'd be like, no, it's not.
Hi, Alan. Hi, how
are you? Dude, I'm okay. I miss you a lot. How are you?
I'm good. I've been getting over like a cough that, you know, I worry about, but I'm getting over it. So
I'm glad about that too, because you know me, I get worried about it and I live alone. So I'm like, oh, what could I do for Alan? And it's like, nothing. I can't do anything for Alan. Leave him alone.
We can play Jackbox at night.
Yeah, which we do. But tonight is going to be really special because tonight is something that I've been fangirling about for a long time. But before we get to that, I just want to say a special thank you to all of our Patreons. I'm going to sing about them, but not tonight. But we do have some fun news, some different news. We are going to be doing Josh Swallows Broadway live streams once a week. For now on, next week it's going to be Saturday night. After that, we're going back to Wednesday nights because there's a special event next Wednesday. But we're also doing this so I can spend some quality time with my Patreon boos. We're going to be doing some Zoom hangouts and dance parties and stuff. So it's going to be fun. Again, this is totally free for everybody. If you can, we're just looking to help support the show, the Broadway Podcast Network, and to keep the show going so we can have a season two when we climb out of this. So if you'd like to, in zero pressure, it's patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. In the meantime, Alan, were you able to see the Jesus Christ Superstar concert last year with it was when Groundhog Day was in rehearsals with Morgan, Shoshana, and Orfei and all these incredible people.
I didn't.
It was maybe the most spectacular night of my life. I have not stopped thinking about it since. And, you know, it's very overwhelming to me. But you know what, without further ado, let's just bring on this incredible team of producers, Morgan James, Orfei is going to be joining us in a bit. And let's just shower them with some fucking love. The crew of the She Is Risen EP.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Morgan. Hi, Meg. Hi, everyone. I'm trying to blow up my screen a little bit so I can see everybody better. I do podcasts and musicals, not technology. Hi, and we've got Toria Beard and Richard Emilius. Hey. Now, I know that we're missing one producer, right?
We're missing Dawn Kamerling, and we're missing, well, it's a huge team of people that brought this together. So we could never all fit on a Zoom or a pod on any one screen, but this is a slice of the people that brought this together. And Dawn is an incredible publicist and producer, and she wow. kind of was a huge part of bringing this to light. Richard directed the concert you saw. And then, of course, he remained my right-hand man through everything. Toria was over at our house when I had the dream about Jesus Christ Superstar. So she's been involved from the beginning. And Meg played pretty much every instrument you can play and produced it with me. And she's just an incredible centered force of nature. So this is who you have today.
I have to thank you from the bottom of my heart, all of you, and those who are not here with us. That sounds so morbid, those who are not that here with us really today. and you're like, and everybody else is dead. No, but for this piece of art that you gave us, keep in mind, like, I don't have a sentimental history with Superstar. I grew up this fat Jewish kid. And my first introduction to Superstar was my Jewish grandpa, whose family came from Russia. So Fiddler was like their Superstar. And I remember Superstar playing on some compilation, you know, tape that I had. And he was like, fast forward, Jesus Christ, bullshit star. You want a musical? Fiddler's a musical. I remember that so vividly. But then, you know, over the years, I got to listen to it. My ex was in the national tour with Ted Neely. And so I saw it a bunch and I was like, yeah, this is great music. But then when I saw yours, it made sense. Something about it just clicked and it made sense to me. And it like, just like hooked into my soul. And I was like, this is the only production I ever need to see again. I didn't even watch the NBC Live one. Sorry, friends. I know you're very gifted.
Hi. Here's Dawn. Hi, Dawn.
Oh, hey. My God.
Our team.
Thank you for what you do.
Well, so funny. So I want to tell the story of how, like, Dawn came into the mix.
Yes.
After the concert, Meg played in the concert. We had an all-female cast, an all-female band, and it was like fast and dirty. We had, you know, we rehearsed for Richard, what, a couple, maybe a week?
2 days.
Yeah. 2 days.
Not even 2 days.
Got in the room.
It was very quick.
And, you know, and we threw together all these superstars. We, you know, everybody learned their material. And then we got this female band. Meg was in it, of course. And every single one of my friends was like, hey, who's
up? Oh, you're on mute, Morgan. Okay.
I accidentally hit it. And Meg was incredible.
Crucify her.
Crucify. So after the concert, is this okay if I tell the story, Meg and Dawn?
Yeah. Totally. Okay.
So after the concert, somebody said that Stephen Colbert mentioned an all-female Jesus Christ Superstar on the air randomly one day.
We were laying in bed. This is my partner, Dawn. We were laying in bed together. It's not weird. And
yeah, defend yourself on my show.
We got a text from a friend, right, that said, did you see Colbert last night?
I think it was Morgan actually that sent the text.
No, because I didn't know.
It wasn't okay, Morgan. It was somebody else.
It was the drummer girl.
Oh, the drummer girl.
Rosie.
Yeah. And we got this text that said, did you see Colbert? He said, what next? An all-female Jesus Christ Superstar in response to something Trump had said, right? And so Dawn immediately, you know, she has a lot of connections to Colbert because she's worked with a lot of different people that have been on the show. And she said, I have to write his team right now and say, I have an all-female Jesus Christ Superstar. Like, we have to go on Colbert, like, tonight. And they wrote back, well, we'd love to put you on, but do you have an upcoming show that you can promote or a record? And we were like, what now?
Well, and then somebody said we should talk. Dawn and I talked. We basically made like a soul connection.
Yeah, we should make a record.
And then Morgan and I fell in love and said.
Yeah. And said, okay, let's figure out how to make this happen. And then 17 trillion years later.
Yeah, like many, many altars later.
We were able to put it out, and it came to fruition.
And initially, Toria and Richard were over at my house. I had had a dream about doing an all-female Jesus Christ Superstar with Shoshana Bean. Mm-hmm. And they came over to my house for Christmas. You can't make this stuff up. And Christmas Day. And I said, oh, I had this dream. And they were like, they were very serious. They were like, okay, well, how do we make this dream happen? And I was like, oh, I don't know. Probably not. And they're like, no, no, we want to. Very serious. And so we started planning from then on. Yeah. And that's how
it happened pretty quickly too.
The concert. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We have to make a record now. So the initial thought was like, we're going to go on Colbert and we're going to slay and we're going to sell a million records. Like right. That was what was going to happen.
Because it could still happen.
Like you had already done the concert. Like
the
Morgan and you guys came up with this vision and apparently it sold out the entire Highland Ballroom and everybody was freaking out about
everybody
it.
Everybody was like, when can we see this again?
In this brilliant idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was right.
Yeah. And I always wanted to make a concept album of it. I actually wanted to make a concept album before I wanted to make a concert of it because I was obsessed with the original concept album of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Huh. Yeah.
And that, and I was like, I love, that's my favorite of all the JCS and I love concept albums. And I thought, oh, wouldn't that be amazing?
I think we all initially bonded on that too. Like when we were talking about doing this, the biggest thing was to do, justice to the original concept album, because that's what we all came up listening to. And like, I remember, my mom cleaning the house, listening to that record. And I remember the vinyl with the brown cover.
Yes. Like, brown leather with the gold.
Yeah. And like feeling that, like that was a special thing that my parents had in their collection, in their record collection that they would listen to. And so when we were talking about this, initially doing this project, we wanted to really stay true to that, the sounds of that recording and like pay homage to that recording.
Well, you did, but you also moved it forward, which is something very, very. Oh no, where did Toria go? Oh,
we lost one.
Okay, there you are.
She's back.
Toria, what was your experience like working on this?
Oh, it was so much fun. It was a joy. Yeah. I thrive in collaboration. So there is no greater joy for me than like watching a project from inception to execution and like just being involved in everything in between. And I get to work with amazing friends. So it was beautiful. I loved it.
Well, also one thing I was talking to one of my producers, Dori Berenstein, who's a genius, about something people don't really realize about producing is they're not just like people sitting back and like sending out emails. They are out there with like a fucking battle axe, like getting shit done. And, like real warriors. And I mean, that was an experience, what you all pulled off. Not just pulled off, but gave the world.
No, we pulled it off.
Yeah.
We pulled it off. The concert was easy. The concert was a few thousand bucks and like getting people who were excited to sing the music together. But then the record, we got involved in trying to crowdfund, thousands of dollars to make that record happen. And then Pledge Music went bankrupt and we sort of were sitting with all this music in our hands and no money. And for a while, it was really, a kick in the pants because we thought now this will never come out.
Right. So what you're saying is that you raised all the money and then this site went bankrupt. And so really all this money that you had didn't actually exist.
Well, thankfully we had done the lion's share of the work was accomplished on the front end, at least like we had all the recording. Yeah. We've recorded the entire score. So all the front end costs we had paid for, but we didn't have any money to execute the rest of the project, meaning finishing doing any merchandise or any sort of manufacturing or finishing mixing, finishing mastering. In addition to the fact that it was coinciding with the Pledge thing was coinciding with the fact that Andrew Lloyd Webber and his folks were doing all these other JCS projects and kept saying, oh, why don't you wait? Why don't you wait?
Yeah.
All these things. And so both of these things, like breaking down our spirit. So like speak for myself, breaking down my spirit and feeling like it was a one closed door after the other, and losing the money is obviously a huge setback for any project that costs a lot of money. Like this.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. It sucked. But I have to say, like, this team was incredible, especially with Morgan, like, leading this. Every few months, you would get, like, a, all right, team, we're going to revisit this. Like, setback. We can do it, you know? Yeah. I mean, and so every one of us was just, like, done, and, like, I can't give any more to this. And then you would get, a text from Morgan with the group, and we would all sort of find another level of win in our sails.
It was like a choose-your-own-adventure every day. It really was. So what's going to happen next?
Yeah. I give a lot of props to you for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I kept turning to my husband and saying, I'm like the magician that won't produce a rabbit. Like, they're never going to believe me again. I'm like, no, you guys, this time it's going to be great. I really did. You know, because I asked a lot of people, the people you see in this room, and also dozens of other people to go with me on a journey of faith, essentially. And I can't
like Jesus,
a pilgrimage,
like Jesus.
Well, you know, you can't do any project like this alone. Like, it takes it. Ooh, no way. You know, it just takes massive.
No, there are some assholes that think that they can, and then you agree to it, and you go there, and you're like, "Oh, you're the asshole that thinks that you can. I'm gonna tiptoe out of this room."
Actually, Toria, tell Josh and the folks about A Broader Way, and because that was something really special that's going to be on Volume 2, which is the Broader Way girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, A Broader Way Foundation is a nonprofit organization that leverages the arts to teach leadership skills to middle school age girls, and then we have a short extension program for high schoolers, like 9th and 10th grade. And it was founded almost exactly 10 years ago by Idina Menzel and Tay Diggs. And I am the executive director of A Broader Way. And so when we started thinking about this project, and Morgan said, I want young voices on these tracks. And I was like, I have an idea. So we just figured it out. And we got a group of girls they were 6th grade through 8th grade, and they had a couple of rehearsals. They came on a bus from Harlem
to Brooklyn.
And they were petrified. And thankfully, Morgan had come up to us. We run our program out of National Black Theater in Harlem. And so Morgan came up one day to work with them, along with Ben Wexler, who was helping to teach them the music. And so they were somewhat familiar with her, but when they walked into the studio, it was like, you know,
it's
very frozen.
Fancy looking in the studio.
Yeah, well, especially when you see like all the albums that have been made there before, and you're like, what, tiny babies,
right? Yeah. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Kids. Yeah.
They had a great time though. And I felt like the more we talked about why it was important to push forward, like as Dawn was saying, every time the door would close and Morgan would say, I have another idea, or this is going to happen, or we're going to wait until, you know, things change. I was just like, at a certain point, I just started to get so fired up thinking about how sometimes you can have the purest of intentions and you can have everything mapped out, but it doesn't always go your way. There are no guarantees. This is truly like an exercise in faith and patience to produce anything. You never know how it's going to go. But I was really, really jazzed about having the voices of young girls of color represented in such a beautiful way. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think Morgan and Richard did an amazing job making sure that everyone was represented in our cast and on our band. And like, right. You know, I work with an organization called Rock Camp for Girls, and it's a nationwide and worldwide organization. One of the things that we really strive for is to make sure that everyone is represented in our community. And I think that one of the strengths and one of the most beautiful things about this recording is that is so true. Like, literally everyone is represented in this project.
Yeah.
And that's so important. It means so much to me, and it means so much to a lot of our listeners. And mm-hmm. I think I'm really proud of that piece piece of it. And I have so much respect for, you know, everybody that worked so hard to make that happen, because it's so important.
This doesn't have to do with Superstar, but it does have to do with Richard and like this, you know, connection with Morgan, because they've been friends with so long. Is Richard like inadvertently saved my life? And gave me my equity card and is responsible for me having a career.
You're responsible for you having a career.
No. It was what, 2000 or 2001? I literally
2003.
Oh, it was 2003.
Yeah, Jekyll and Hyde, right?
Yeah. No, literally like was living in a crack house, had like nothing going for me. I was a female phone sex operator in a horrifically abusive relationship. And I went to this open call with a fake ass resume and
an incredible voice.
Yeah, but I didn't get a call back. And then when they didn't have a high tenor, Richard was the one that was like the kid that you didn't call back.
Yeah.
And
I bet he did it with that. I recognize that attitude, that phrasing.
Well, it was one of those producers that wanted to hire hot boys. And I was like, yeah, but what you're missing in all these hot boys is somebody who can actually sing this score. And they were like, well, we didn't see anybody. And I pulled out his headshot and I was like, Josh Lehman.
No way. Hired him. What a good story.
And Andy Carl, or Faye's husband, was our Jekyll and Hyde. And I remember the first time, it's one of my favorite moments, is we had the Sitz probe with the orchestra and we were doing Facade, the opening number or whatever. And Josh scream belted his solo and Andy walked by and was like, and I love that moment. It was one of my favorite moments of that show.
Wow.
That production.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Something I do want to say, oh, hi, Orfe. Orfe's in the chat. She's in the waiting room.
Oh, Orfe's coming in soon, kids.
Something I want to say before we bring Orfe in is for anybody who is maybe just finds our recording or is new to it or wonders what it is. A lot of people have said, oh, what keys are you doing everything in? Or oh, what did you do with this? What did you do with that? And it's important for us to hi, Orfe.
Hi, everybody.
Hey. Welcome.
I feel like I have that one. I hope it's not my vacuum cleaner. It is.
It's like
a wall. You look like Sam Ash in the 90s. What's going on?
Oh, everybody.
This is fantastic.
You need the car in the background.
But my Dyson's over there. We're going to pretend that's a guitar.
Great.
All right.
Just as good. Sam Ash in the 90s.
I was just starting to say, Orfe, for anybody who's finding our album, our She Is Risen Volume 1, is that we did all the original keys, all the original tempos. We did not change a single note or a single line. We didn't make this a female story. We told this classic story with amazing music, with female voices. And so I think that is just a testament to how much we love this score. And take it away, Orfe and Andy. Is Andy there?
He's somewhere, not here, but here, but not here.
Not invited.
Of course.
I think he's doing one of these on his cell phone because I'm on the computer. So there you go.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that With brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
We were just talking about how I got my equity card with Andy at Media Theater and Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh, Jekyll and Hyde. Oh, I know. My God.
And first of all, like, I was obsessed with him because I was obsessed with Starlight Express. But I was also obsessed with you.
Me?
Yeah. Wow. And yes, of course. And being this like nobody kid who just got his equity card and being like, I'm going to meet Orfeh. Like, you were my Conrad Birdie. And we met at that, what was the restaurant? The Stone Wall Inn or whatever? The Stone
Brewery. Iron Crow.
Iron Crow.
Yeah.
I think you were there with Bruce Glickus on closing day or something. And I was like,
of course you were.
Hi, Orfeh. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Like
it's
hi.
Anyway, but you're Pontius fucking Pilate. And this She Is Risen superstar is unreal.
You have it. You need to hear the rest, Josh, because she's incredible.
Well, no, yeah, I'll
wait till you hear it. Wait till you hear it.
Morgan let me have a psychiatric meltdown during office. And I think that's what made it be the way that it was. And I really toned it down for the CD because there are just things any recording artist, and we're all recording artists, you know, there's a way to do something live that you can get away with. And there's a way to capture it in the studio, which is why people think Broadway singers don't know how to record. And we all come from the music business, so we all know how to record. Thank you very much. But
The fact that
Morgan allowed me to have literally a psychiatric meltdown on the stage of the High Line. And I promised her, I said, I won't do that if we ever put this on TV. But thank you for letting me, like, literally, I just remember just going into a state. I was like, okay, well, between Love, Janice, and now this, I will never need to pay for therapy.
You were amazing.
Well,
you were so amazing. Morgan.
Thank you. But you let me do that. I did it once in rehearsal, and Morgan's like, do that. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Nobody lets Orfeh do anything. We just were in awe of your presence. We were happy that you were.
Oh, thank you.
It is so inspiring because, yes, you are these remarkable recording artists that I've listened to for years and have looked up to. But what you are beyond that is just fucking artists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you're just fucking artists. And that to me is remarkable and inspiring. You really do it all. And that's incredible. And then you have these incredible producers, and you have Richard, who has just been a dream maker for as long as I've known him. You know, it's very, very powerful. And
but you know what?
Joe.
Listen, you also have to hand it to Morgan and Richard and Toria and all you, Meg, all of you. An idea is only an idea if it comes out of the vacuum that it's created in, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and they did this, and it didn't matter how, when we started, when it happened, the fact of the matter is that it happened and now it is available to the universe. You see, it's all, I have 1,000 ideas a day. Andy has 1,000 ideas a day, but the difference between to facilitate the universe with art is not sitting on it. And they didn't sit on it. And that's what makes it important. It's not about anything else, whatever anyone wants to say. We're singing freaking songs that exist. We're women singing the songs. Big fucking deal. Everybody relax.
Yes.
You know, we didn't change the keys. We didn't. It's just we're kick-ass rock singers. And so you got us together and we sang kick-ass rock songs. The end.
The end. Yeah. And so what was your experience like in the studio? Did you enjoy that whole, like, had you ever been in, I had never been in a studio where everybody except Richard was a woman. Like I looked around and I got really emotional because everybody was a woman. I was like, this is so amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think anything of it because I'm around chicks all the time.
Do tell.
I could say something that was kind of amazing. Like, at one point we were, and this is a testament to really what made this project happen the way that it did, because at one point I remember being in Nashville in a hotel room and Morgan and I were on the phone And there was a talk about pushing the project back because, remember this? Because we were like, we can't get the band, like with the studio, it's expensive, the this, the that. And Morgan said, and I'll never forget this, she said, listen, I don't know when we're ever, by the way, I say this, we were zero prepared. Like this was like, we had like Meg was thrown in as the, like we had nothing prepared. And, but Morgan said, I was like, should we push it? I'm just going to say this. Should we push it back? Maybe even a few weeks. And Morgan said, look, I get it, but we're never going to have all of these people showing available. Up at the available. Same time. Yeah. They're all here. They're all ready to do it. We have like 25. I don't even know how many still. I still don't know. Like 18 brilliant Broadway singers that want to come over these 2 days. Like, we have to do it.
Yeah. What's the likelihood of that ever happening
again in the next 2 years? Yeah. And when I hung up from that conversation, I was like, she's so right. Like, everything else doesn't matter. The fact that we have these vocalists that want to come in and do this. Yep. So I called Meg and I was like, we're doing it.
We didn't have anything. We didn't have anything. It was just like, here's we had the date singers and go. It's like 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, we had a yes from Orfeh, Cynthia Erivo, Ledisi, yeah. Bridget Everett, Shoshana Bean. Like we had a yes from like these people. I was like, we may never get this group of people. It just felt like it had to be this group of people.
And I have to say, like, you were right. Like, at the end of the day, like, I look back now and I'm like, that. Like, I don't know how we would organize that now. Like, it was so, like, all of the other moving pieces that we just moved to meet that beautiful magic moment was the thing that made this record happen. And so I just really shout that out to you, Morgan, because
you
really pushed that. You pushed like that, picked up the mountain and you moved it over to the studio in Brooklyn. And that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Get it on tape. Do it. It's done. Whenever
can't take it away now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Orfeh, did you ever think you're gonna play Pilot? Did you ever dream of playing this role or anything?
I enjoy, like, whenever anyone says, "Oh, you'd be great playing such and such role," I always pick the other role. Like, I don't want to play Audrey. I want to play the plant. Not interested in that. I'm interested in the plant. You know what I'm saying? So, like, to me, he was such an interesting character. You think, I love conflicted, over the top, you know, what's really going on inside. And it's one of Andy's favorite shows, as you know. Andy's the biggest fan of this entire concept, this entire existence of this. And he would always break it down for me. And I thought to myself, well, Pontius is just the most interesting character because he's the most conflicted. Yeah. So I love that. And I thought, and that's why, again, that facilitated my psychiatric meltdown at the High Line. Because I really could get into his skin. And I remember us being at rehearsals. There wasn't a dry eye in rehearsal at any given point in time. Like, Shoshana would get up, everybody would be crying. So-and-so would get up, Morgan would get up, everybody would cry. I was like sitting in the back going, I can't take this anymore.
I know.
Josh, it was out of control because the children were coming for you. Like, they were, you just were like, and it wasn't that anybody was showing off or saying, look at how, you know, amazing I am. And look at how many notes I can sing and look at how many runs I can do. I think they were really feeling the moment and just what it is that they were getting to do that oddly no one had thought of doing before. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it was, that's why it was fucking magical, because like, it was just special. It was one of a kind. We were rehearsing Groundhog Day when it happened. So I was standing next to Andy, watching him, watch you, watch everyone. And when we came to rehearsal the next day, it was like we had a really fucking religious experience.
Actually. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was special. You know,
and then Alex singing freaking Mary. Like, what?
I know.
I mean, that rehearsal, I wish we had that rehearsal on tape. It could be its own miniseries on Netflix.
It wouldn't have been.
That's
true. I don't think it would have felt the
what same. But seriously, like, people just think we're all running around being ridiculous. And sometimes it's an act. actual otherworldly out of body experience. And that was one of those moments.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
What's interesting is when we were, first of all, there's two things. Orfe was our first big get. So we were talking, Morgan said, I have a dream. And we were talking about that. And then, no. So then she texted Shoshana and Shoshana was like, yes, I'm in. And then Morgan and Toria and I went to like a little bar and we were sitting down. And we were like, let's talk people. And the next biggest role was pilot. And Orfe's name came up and we were all like, I don't know. Do you think she'll do it? Do you think, should we ask? And we asked and she said something very Orfe, like, fuck yeah, I'm in. And we were like, okay, Shoshana doesn't think we're nuts. Orfe doesn't think we're nuts. And then it was like, anything was possible. Right. But that we're talking about that rehearsal that Orfe's talking about. Nobody, we sort of reached out to everybody and we said, we're doing this. This is the part you're playing. And everybody showed up and just did it. Nobody ever said, what key? Nobody ever said, this is going to be too high for me. Nobody ever said, how am I going to do this? Everybody just came. And Josh, you were saying how everybody is just a fucking artist. There was no, the room was full of incredible confidence and everybody just got up and did the thing. And we were sitting there going, I looked at my friend, Larry was the stage manager. And I looked at him and he was like, people are going to lose their minds. And it was the first time we had heard anybody sing anything. And it was like, or what Orfe is saying is, I wish I had that on tape. I wish we sold tickets to that because there, even the concert, which was incredible, nothing compares to that first day. Actually, oh for God. You, Josh, you, it was your first time hearing it, but our first time hearing it, it was like, I can't believe what we're going to do.
Also, so many of these women, Orfe being the first one, she didn't say, I was like, oh, would you play pilot? And she's like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
She didn't say which one, you do have to go through. It's not like you grow up as a woman learning all the female roles and what little there are in all the musicals. And I'll drop that in. And, you don't automatically, oh, I know where pilot fits in my voice. And there were some women that we contacted almost ever. I would say 90% of the women that we contacted, like we handpicked, wanted them, and they all said yes. A couple people wanted to be Judas or Mary, the traditional roles that they knew what they were. But everybody else was like, I never even thought about playing Caiaphas. Yes. I never even thought about playing Annas. Yes. Like, this is amazing. This is so like weird. And I want to be something that I would never normally get to play.
Well, with that said, I just got a really, really beautiful fucking text from Andy Carl.
Who?
Broadway's Andy Carl.
No, I worked with him at Media Theater. I don't know if you know him, but and like it's making me choke up. He wrote, I was so moved by that production of Superstar. Like musical revival productions are doing now, it was the right twist on a classic piece that could reinvent and reinvigorate the material. This is how Superstar should come back and excite Broadway and theater in general through the eyes of powerful women. And I couldn't agree more. And I hope, and you know what? I kind of just feel it in my gut when Broadway does come back, and it's coming back, bitches. this is the show that I want to see. And I hope that everybody at home, because you can get this across all platforms. It's She Is Risen Part One. And it's just the first five, and my God, like, I need more. Like, I feel like a crackhead right now. But I look sexier. Right now, but I just started, which is why.
Oh, my God.
Nobody knows I have a problem yet. Yeah.
Just stop before you start losing your teeth.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Exactly, Orfe. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt the flow, but I thought that it was important that I read that.
That was beautiful.
No, he's the biggest fan of this project. He has been since day one. He's just
God. He's just a special guy, and he's right.
Out of his mind over this completely. Yeah. Has been since the beginning.
And also, that's the goal: is that
we're releasing volume two, volume three. And then, you know, we want to take this to be something, you know, live at some point, whatever that is. It's a tour, a show, right? Like, I mean, you know, we're all
nice concert.
That was the initial, yeah.
I would love to do some sort of reunion, you know, you know, honestly, like I've always thought like, oh, wouldn't it be fun to come together and really have the time and the money to do like town hall.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, I think that would be great. I need to get through a couple more volumes and build up my strength. because trust me, this was not an easy mountain but it was a lot of, I'm reinvigorated. Like Andy said, I am reinvigorated by the response and by, the positivity and by the acceptance and all sorts of, you know, it does feel very great to have worked so hard with all these incredible people and have people say, yeah, it was worth it.
It's beyond worth it. It's fucking magic. And, you know, like, we all work really hard and sometimes you think you have something special and then you take a step back and you're like, oh, that was poo. You know? So isn't it nice when you take a step back and you're like, oh, thank fucking God. That is really special.
This aged really well.
Yes, that's so true.
This one didn't go, oh, wasn't that great? And, you know, when you're like, you watch old TV, you go, what were they thinking wearing those high-waisted acid wash jeans? That's not, you know, but this really aged well. And I think it will just continue to stand the test of time and get better and better and better and gain more momentum and more like frenzy and more love and more, you know, people will get it. It'll be a rollout getting it. They'll, you know,
open more doors.
And wait till you hear the rest of it.
Oh no, my God.
I've
heard the rest of it. It's pretty damn good.
I can only imagine.
Paid a lot of money, but also it's going to open doors. Like Leah Delary and I want to do a fat production of Chicago. And
that's amazing.
At the High Line. I
you
think,
stop
you know,
that crack, boy.
No, I know. I can't help it. It's a good. Speaking of, the one print job I ever got sent out on was for a schizophrenic medicine. And I didn't know what I was doing. And they were like, okay, great. So it's for schizophrenic medicine. You're schizophrenic. And I was like, ugh. And they were like, you're not a monster. You're schizophrenic. And I was like, eh? They're like, okay, thanks. Bye.
Thank you. You're not.
No, anyway. Oh, I'm gifted.
Wait. Oh, Josh.
Yeah. Oh my God. I just really want to have a sleepover right now with you six and just listen to Superstar. And it'll be fun. It'll be great.
Awesome. I'm so glad you guys asked me to show up.
Thank you, Orfe.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you vacuumed.
Good to see you.
I'm so grateful that all of you came on the show tonight. And every time that you release a new one, I want you all to come back and talk more. I want to talk to everybody that has been a part of it just because it's special. And I want everybody at home again to listen to it, gift it to somebody. It's just everything that you need to hear right now.
Absolutely. I agree. Thank you for doing this, you all that stuck with it and believed in it and made it happen. And now it's out.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
In addition to getting the music, if you go to the website, which maybe Ellen could link or we could put with the stream when it posts, but she-is-risen.net or .com. And there you can see the fullest of credits because there's so many people the band and everybody that worked on the project, and we're about to put up the thank yous and the liner notes. And there were so many people that helped make this happen. And so it's just Meg put together this website so that people could see a little bit more about the making of, and we're going to continue to add photos and videos. And so if you want to know more, go there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Thank you all so much for being a part of this on your Saturday night.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love you guys. Orfe, I can't wait to come over and play with the puppies and vacuum. Andy was like, I texted him and I was like, I love your Dyson. And he was like, it sucks great. And I was like, I'm going to make a donation to the Actors Fund now. That was hot.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I love you guys.
Thank you.
Please.
Wake up, Nick.
Wake up, Nick. Oh, yes.
Wake up, Nick.
Yes. We need you back.
Yes.
Yes.
Wake up, Nick.
And everyone else that is going through it, you are loved. You are special. If you are feeling sad, it's okay to feel sad. If you don't want to do anything today or tomorrow, you're nailing it. If you want to go out and exercise, you're nailing it. You don't have to write an opera. You're fucking nailing it. Whatever you're doing, you're loved and special. Reach out to anybody, even me. I got your back. You're fucking nailing it. Okay? And thanks for tuning in to Josh Swallows Broadway. We'll see you next Saturday night. Josh Swallows Broadway is produced by Alan Seals, Dory Berenstein, and myself, Josh Lehman, with associate producer Elizabeth Wheelis. And special thanks to our Patreon producers, David Rimmer and Josh Harris. You can join them. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. Leave a rating, leave a review. I read them. This is how I continue living. Help me live. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for keeping Broadway alive, and swallow you soon.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.